And welcome to the Rick House. My name is Cyrus Farmer, and you are watching and listening to the debut episode of the Stomp the Tea podcast. Now, we are your one-stop shop for urban and suburban lifestyle leisure choices. We're going to be talking about bourbon, golf, little politics, relationship dynamics, any and every topic that would be of interest to anyone who aspires to the good life. And here at Stomp the Tea, if we believe in nothing else, we certainly believe in the good life. So we're going to try to have a couple of laughs along the way, and I'm going to stop stalling. Let's crack the seal on this 40 and try to get into the show. Okay, so tonight we are going to be talking about Super Bowl versus opening weekend of the NFL. If you had to choose one, which would you watch? We're also going to be talking about something that I like to call What Are You Drinking Tonight? It's a segment I think you're really going to enjoy, and it's going to be a staple of the show. But first and foremost, I want to talk to you folks about a favorite. We all have favorites in life. Your favorite Thanksgiving meal, or what was your favorite sports event you ever watched? What was your most favorite round of golf, right? So I got a question for you. What is the favorite whiskey you've ever had in your life? I mean, I know most of you out there have probably had several whiskeys that you've enjoyed over the years, some even over the weeks. But I can tell you right now, there was one whiskey that stands out in my mind, and it is like chasing your first high. This whiskey, I had a ton of whiskeys before then. I've had way more after. But this whiskey, I probably had sometime in the early to mid-2000s, probably around 2008 or 9, something like that. I'm going to grab my notes and I'm going to tell you what it is. The whiskey was called Scott's North of Scotland 1964 Scotch Whiskey. Guys, it was a single grain whiskey. It is almost impossible to find. Now, if you go to the website and you look under the whiskeys tab, the bottle, the picture you see is a picture I took of the bottle that I drank from. Now, I had this whiskey twice over a, what, probably 18-month span. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and my next door neighbor, a guy named Glenn Gritzner, fantastic guy, by the way. He has quite a profile on some of your socials. You'll see him. He knows the LA cocktail scene better than almost anyone alive. Anyway, Glenn had a bottle of this in his home, and one day let me try it. Now, this North of Scotland was an unbelievably smooth drink. I got to tell you, let me give you a couple stats. Now, apparently, I have some notes here. Apparently, it was first, the distillery was built in 1957. And this is according to the Dining for Pearls blog, all right? The distillery was built in 1957, and it was originally named the Strathmore Distillery. They changed the name of the distillery to North of Scotland in 1964, the year that I tasted the vintage. According to Whiskey Advocate, the single grain in this North of Scotland wonderful, wonderful whiskey is barley. And it was barley that was a single grain barley that was, the whiskey was finished in a port cask. So, now, depending on where you look online, this whiskey is anywhere between 43 to 51% ABV. Again, this is 1964, so these bottles no longer exist in the retail market. You have to be lucky to find one. Now, some people will sell them online. Occasionally, you can find a website that says, you know, North of Scotland Single Grain 1964. Scotch whiskey, but they're selling from anywhere from a couple hundred bucks to a couple thousand bucks. And you don't know necessarily if it truly is the whiskey that I tasted. But if you ever, ever, ever get a chance to try this whiskey, I recommend that you do it. It is literally the best whiskey I've ever, ever tasted. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the NFL. The question is, if you had a choice to watch one or the other and nothing in between, would you watch the opening weekend of the NFL? Or would you watch the Super Bowl? Look, NFL is king, we know. I'm a huge football fan myself, as is a large percentage of this country. But it is an interesting question. Do you watch one slate of games, being the opening weekend, or do you watch the finale? Now, pros and cons to each, and I will give you my answer right after we go through this. For opening weekend, pros. It's a national holiday, basically. That whole weekend, essentially, especially when they've moved the schedule back to where it's around September 11th and, you know, just after Labor Day, give or take. It's fantastic the way the NFL has set up these standalone debut games, a Thursday night game with the champion playing someone else. And then now this year they added the Friday night game, which is a standalone as well. Then, of course, you have all the weekend games, Sunday night and Monday night, which is usually a doubleheader. So, the good thing about it is you've had months off of football, and you can't wait to see how these rookies are going to look. You can't wait to see how the free agent signings are going to affect your team. Hope springs eternal. Everybody is 0-0, and this could be your year before it kicks off. The anticipation is always fantastic for opening weekend at the NFL. So, those are the pluses. The cons. The games aren't always so great. And I myself am a big believer that the safety reasons that people have used and expressed for shortening the preseason are completely valid. I get that. But I think it does take away from the quality of the product the first few weeks of the season. Very, very, very few teams put their veterans on the field or their star players on the field for the first, for any of the preseason games at all. And I got to say, the Monday night doubleheaders, not a fan. I mean, I get it. Do what you want to, ESPN. You bought the property. You can do whatever you want with it. But I personally, I like to focus on one game at a time. I don't like to switch back and forth, especially the first weekend of the season. So that's kind of a downer for me. Now, the other con in the opening weekend in the NFL is that fans are almost always, to a large degree or a small degree, but it's going to happen, fans will overreact to the results of the first game. Your team wins, we're going to the Super Bowl, this is going to be great. Your team loses, oh my gosh, we're going to be 0-16. I can't believe we're going to have the first pick in the draft. This is awful. So, that's the first weekend of the season. Lots of volume, lots of product, fantastic getting that anticipation sated. But, again, not every game is great. The Super Bowl, the pros, well, this is truly a national holiday. I mean, I don't know who doesn't celebrate the Super Bowl. Even if you don't watch football, people actually take the weekend of the Super Bowl as kind of like a national holiday. They use an excuse to buy food, drink, this, that, and the other. Whether it's buying squares in a Super Bowl pool or whether it's buying a seven-layer dip, people go mad for the Super Bowl, even if they don't watch the game. I like to see how it ends. That's, for me, the culmination of a season-long campaign. I want to see what the ending is. And to be fair, the results aren't always what you expect it to be, but that's why you watch. I mean, that's the best thing about sports in general, and particularly in the NFL, It is so unscripted. We don't know what the results will be before the game is played. We can guess, but we don't know. We have to watch. The other thing about the Super Bowl that I think is a huge plus is this is a game where legends are made. You can run for 300 yards in the opening week of the season, and you might have your jersey, you'll definitely have your jersey and your cleats put into the Hall of Fame as an exhibit for breaking some kind of record. But if you rush for 300 yards in the Super Bowl, you are a legend for all time. I mean, it's just that big of a game. Now, there are some cons about the Super Bowl. In my opinion, it is also not always a great game. We've seen some clunkers. Even the blowouts aren't nearly as bad as the games that there just doesn't seem to be a lot of traction in. There are a couple of Super Bowls that come to mind. I will say last year's Super Bowl, as light as the scoring was, the first half, I thought that game was a tension-filled game. I know a lot of people thought Kansas City and San Francisco, it didn't really get started until the third quarter or so, but I thought that literally San Francisco was probably one touch away from a big play every time they had the ball. I felt the same way about Kansas City. I thought it was an incredibly compelling Super Bowl, but it's not always the case. And last but not least, I know this is a con, but I watch also. But if you're just talking football, the halftime show kind of breaks up the flow. I'm just being honest. I mean, there have been some great halftime performances. And I have to say, last year, let's take last year in particular, I thought Usher did an unbelievable job. He crushed it. Just the fact that he was on roller skates alone was worth the price of admission. There have been some halftime shows that haven't been so good. But generally speaking, the halftime show, in a way, kind of stands on its own. It's almost like a separate production. By definition, it's a separate production. But I think if you're thinking about the Super Bowl as a game, the halftime show kind of gets in the way, even though I want to watch the halftime show every year. But it does kind of get in the way of the game. So all that being said, if I had a choice between watching the opening weekend of the NFL season after months off without football, or watching the Super Bowl, rolling the dice on one game, I'm not watching the regular season. I'm not watching the playoffs. I'm not watching the championship games the week before, 2 weeks before. I can only watch the Super Bowl. I think I have to go with the Super Bowl. I'll be honest. As good as opening weekend can be, I want to see how the story ends. Yeah, that's me. Okay, so, folks, I have a question for you. What are you drinking tonight? This is a segment that we're going to do every week on the show, and we are going to use this moment to actually introduce you to some things you may be familiar with, some things you may not be familiar with. So, the question is, what are you drinking tonight? I myself am drinking New Riff Single Barrel. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about this bourbon. Let me grab my notes because I want to give you good information. Guys, this New Riff Single Barrel is a very, very good bourbon. Now, it's overproof. This particular bottle, all the single barrels from New Riff have slightly different stats. They have the same mash bill, but they have slightly different stats on the ABV. This particular bottle has an ABV of 59.05. That makes it 118.1 proof. Now, I know some of you out there are saying 118 proof. Oh my gosh, I would be on the floor after I just smelled it. No, that's the craftsmanship that is done with this New Riff single barrel. I'm telling you, It's spicy. It's got some punch, but it is incredibly flavorful. It is non-chill filtered. What else do I have here? It's aged at least 4 years. The mash bill is 65% corn, 30% rye, and 5% malted barley. Now, that is a high rye mash bill. It's distilled in Newport, Kentucky, and their distillery offers tours and all sorts of things. Now, what do I mean when I say non-chill filtered? There is a process where some bourbon and some alcohol, some whiskey, gets filtered. That means they take out sediments and they run it through a process where things can be removed that are floating loose in the actual whiskey. Here's a way to think about it. If you ever had chili, if you've ever made chili, right? What happens is when you make the chili, it has all this great flavor. And then sometimes what happens is you skim it off, you skim the fat off the chili so that it'll be a little healthier. That's what chill filtration is, right? So non-chill filtration is when you take that same chili you made that is full of flavor and you put it in the fridge, and the next day when you take it out to heat up some more, there are these solid fats that have formed on the top of the chili and throughout the chili until you heat it up again. That's essentially non-chill filtration in action. Those are fats, essentially, in the whiskey that get filtered out when you chill filtration and alcohol. Non-chill filtration leaves all that in. And what does that do? It gives you flavor. Now, you'll find that a lot of your overproof alcohols, they genuinely are all going to be labeled as non-chill filtration, simply because once you get to about 107 proof and higher, ice does not cloud the whiskey, which is essentially what happens when you put that chili in the fridge. And you put an ice cube in non-chill filtered alcohol that's below 107 proof, it's going to get cloudy. That's like the refrigeration process. But once you get over 107 proof, that doesn't happen. So you'll find a lot of your overproof, your barrel strength, your cask strength whiskeys are going to be non-chill filtered. Why? Because it keeps the flavor in the glass. So, New Riff. I can tell you right now that you're going to find that at probably anywhere between $50 and $60 a bottle. It's incredibly affordable for the quality of the whiskey. I'm looking forward to getting out there to Kentucky to visit their distillery at some point. And I got to tell you, I'm a big, big fan of this New Riff single barrel. So, that's the show for tonight. Guys, I need to tell you something. We are going to be, as I say, building this plane while we're in the air. So go to the website, check in, look for the podcast. We have our own YouTube channel. You can find it there. We'll have some audio versions up as well. Recommend and do all the things that you would do to support any show. We are big fans of you, and we're going to give you some fantastic content over the next few years. So I can tell you, next week's episode, we're going to be here every week. Next week's episode is going to be shot in the wonderful islands of St. Kitts and Nevis. We're going to have some fantastic content for you. So next week will be a very fun show. Looking forward to seeing you here. So with that, this is Cyrus Farmer, Stomp the Tea. Thank you for joining us. And as always, we will see you on the first tee.